Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Of a message titled, The Spirit from God. I talk a lot about the Spirit of God. I think it's important. It's important to talk about the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God has such a tangible, definitive impact on the follower of Christ's life. It is the convicting power. It's the guiding power. It's the leading power. It's every bit of who we are as followers of Christ, and every bit of life that we have in us that is of God is a result of the Spirit of God. There is no love if you don't have the Spirit indwelling you. There's no peace, there's no joy, there's no hope. If you are not indwelled by the Spirit of God, you have the ability to be indwelt by the spirit of the enemy, the spirits of the enemy. Everybody knows what demonic possession is. We know as a follower of Christ, we can be demonically oppressed, which is an external force. When you look at the scripture, when it talks about the house that's been swept clean, the demons go to, I preached on this about 6 months ago, the demons go to arid places seeking rest. It says when they come back and find, there's one word specific in that, their house empty, what do? They bring seven more wicked spirits, and the condition of that person is worse at the end than it was at the beginning. The reason that those demons were able to come back and to dwell within that house with seven more friends that were more depraved than they were is because there was not a title that had transferred. They had swept the house clean, which is what happens when people get religion. They get religious, they start living right, but they have not been regenerated, which is a follower of Jesus Christ who is impacted by the Spirit, revealing that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, recognizing that, and then able to confess their sin, ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, placing their faith and trust in Him. And the gift of the Lord is that the Holy Spirit then indwells you. A person that gets religion gets scared and doesn't want to go to hell, so they say, I want to pray a prayer so I don't go to hell one day. You know what you do? You pray to what? Clean the house. The enemy, the demons go to arid places seeking rest. They don't find it. If they come back and there is not a home that's filled with the Spirit of God, if there is one, then guess what? They have no home anymore. That's why they have nowhere then to reside. So they go somewhere else. But when they come back to their house and it's empty, it's no good. So tonight, what my challenge is, everybody who's online watching or in this building, to make sure that you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. There is but one. It is the Holy Spirit of the living God. There is but one. And tonight, I pray you know that peace that passes all understanding that is living in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't understand how in the world that God's Spirit, the singular Spirit of God, can indwell every believer on the entire face of the earth. It blows my mind. But remember something, we are limited by the finite. We are not infinite. God is infinite, but we are finite. We're limited in that sense. So we cannot. It's incomprehensible, and it doesn't change the validity or the reality of the truth of it. And that's what I thank God for tonight. Do you know that the truth of who God is not dependent on my or your ability to understand who He is? He is still God, whether we want to believe it, whether we accept it, whether we recognize it or not. The same thing as I said this morning, you do not have to believe that there is a hell to go. You don't. We can sit there all day long and say there's no way in the world that God would send anybody to hell. Again, God does not send you to hell, you send yourself. God's desire is that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We can reject categorically that there is a place called hell. We can believe that we emerged from the slime, that billions of years ago some cells conglomerated and blah, blah. As we hear this stuff, this atheistic origin of life people that say we are nothing more than the product of evolutionary process. I want to tell you right now, that is absolute bunk. It's straight from hell. As So back to the Cambrian fossil layer, there was an explosion of life of give or take approximately 7,000 years ago. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's what you call the Big Bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. When God created, he created ex nihilo. He created it out of nothing. God did not need anything to create with. Well, God is all power. God created it out of absolutely nothing. He needs nothing. All he has to do is speak, and the power is that it happens. Tonight we're going to speak about that Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I hope you found verses 12 through 14, and if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. Father, thank you tonight, God, for this privilege that we have, Lord, to worship you. God, to exalt, to lift up your name, the name above all names. Father, speak to our hearts tonight through your word as only you can. God, we commit this all to you, and we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what's been freely given to us by God. What's this referencing, by the way? This is not a scripture that is talking to the lost. This is talking to followers of Christ, people who are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I want to share comes out of that verse tonight is this. The Spirit of God gives understanding. What I say earlier, so sadly, we've seen a derailing of the Bible being the all-sufficient tool for our life. We have watched that be replaced by Bible studies and this and that and oh, you can't understand it, so we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this thing, and we've got this tape and we've got this study and we've got all the, which studies are fine. Please don't take what I'm saying is that I categorically reject Bible studies and these different things, because I don't. I think they're really good supplements. So many people have used it in a sense as the replacement when it's supposed to be supplemental in addition to. Why do I say that? Because when you and I get in the Bible, what we are doing is we are listening to God speak to us directly. God speaks to us directly. Don't let anybody tell you that we are out of the apostolic age and that God doesn't speak anymore, because that's a lie. I will go against anybody and tell them directly to their face, that's a lie. God still speaks to us. We have his word. So when someone says, well, we just have to kind of to just look at it and then just hope that we know what it's going to be, because, you know, God stopped speaking. The Spirit of God indwells us, brothers and sisters, and if you and I do not believe that as we read God's word, he can speak and direct us and lead us, then I would ask you tonight, what is the reason for Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with what all of your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him. The promise is he will direct your paths. So how can he direct your paths, and or some versions say make your path straight, if God does not lead us? How can we trust that God's word is what? Living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Friends, how is it active, living, and able to pierce, dividing asunder joint and marrow if it's not living, if it's not active? How can God's word go out and promise not to return void if it is not active and living? Amen. So that's the question tonight becomes, if you think the Spirit of God, well, maybe you've been raised in a home, okay? Maybe you've been in circles where the Spirit of God is that thing that's it's not really understood, so we don't talk about it. It's the Pentecostal thing, the apostolic thing. It's those Church of God people, it makes me nervous thing. They don't have an edge on the Spirit, brothers and sisters. Please do not fall victim to that. I don't care what they call you. You got family that if you mention the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, they're going to label you up. You can call me anything. Just call me a Jesus freak because I don't care what you think. Because I know what truth is, and I know the truth of God and His speaking to my heart through His Word is as real right now as it's ever been in my lifetime. And I desire fellowship with God. I desire His leading. I desire His directing. I desire the Spirit of God that gives understanding because He is willing to do that, but He is limited when we believe He does not speak. That is the thing that shuts the voice of God affirming His Word to our hearts when we say, well, He doesn't do that anymore. I'm so glad that I don't serve a deistic understanding of God. Deists believe that God's so supernaturally spun the earth into existence all those years ago and then said, well, that's over with. I'll see you later. We'll see what happens. He's not involved in our lives. He is out there in the stratosphere somewhere doing His thing. And we are left to the devices of what happens, happens. I'm so glad that's not. Do you know many of our founding fathers were? I'm thankful that's not the reality of the God that is the living God. The God that desires to intimately be involved in every aspect of our life. The God that when you and I start to veer off course loves us so much. By the way, how does a God, if He is so involved or uninvolved as people will believe in your life, how does that father chastise us that loves his children like a father, a son, if he's not actively involved in our lives? Amen? See, that God is the God that every single day is deeply, intimately, and personally involved in everything going on in our life. God knows right now what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And right now, as I said at the funeral yesterday, He is already in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death right now. That's why the promise is that we shall fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He's there now. Well, wait a minute. How can He be there if we're here? Because God is not bound by time. Let's refine the understanding of God. If He was bound by time, He would not be God. Right now, God is present in 1910. In 1643 and every other time in history, though we cannot understand that, doesn't change the truth of it. Well, wait, I don't know. I don't understand how He can be there then. Well, because again, we are limited by finite. He is not. It's so comforting to know that every bit of the prophetic revelation of Scripture was written long before all of it happened. And what has beautifully occurred? Every single prophecy, as beautifully as it ever could. As a matter of fact, we watch even in the birth of what? So that Scripture might be fulfilled. We read it over and over again. Each and everything that was done is being done so that what? The Scripture might be fulfilled. God bats 1,000. God doesn't guess. God doesn't have that holy, the eight ball thing back, you know, in the 80s or 70s, whenever that thing, you know, they quote unquote asked a question and shake it up and it would tell you, right? No. It's bunk. As a matter of fact, that's from the enemy. The Spirit of God gives understanding. That's why it's important for us to seek His face, to be obedient, to be in His Word, to be in prayer, to live according to God's standard. Because see, what did I share with you this morning? God's best withholds nothing from us. It withholds pain, hurt, heartache, and brokenness, but nothing good. What does the Bible say? He withholds nothing good from those who love Him. God will restrain nothing that will hurt you, nothing that will destroy you. God holds back all of those things. He withholds nothing that is good for you, only the things that will harm you. We get that notion sometimes, God's not withholding these things that are going to harm me. You know, God's out to get me. That's a lie straight again from hell. Verse 13, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Second thing that I want to share with you tonight is this: spiritual wisdom is not worldly wisdom. The spiritual wisdom of the Lord is not things taught by human wisdom. Things taught by the Spirit. It's explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Those things of the Lord are the things so many times that are very hard to understand. They're things sometimes that we can't begin to grasp, that we battle with understanding. We battle with what God's purpose, His plan, His way, and His will is. Those things that we, in the spiritual realm, when we look at it, and it looks like a duck, it smells like a duck, it quacks like a duck, why do we not assume it's a duck? Because the Gibeonite deception is one of those things in Scripture that shows us that God does not function in the realm of our understanding. He functions in the realm of our faith. And many times things are not what they appear because God has got to get us the place that we'll trust what He's doing, because He always does what He promises to do. And what He has to do is uncover our faithlessness, because we do have the tendency to look at it and then to make decisions based on what looks best, when in reality He's saying, don't do that, trust me. And what does He have to do? He has to let us fall victim to the Gibeonite deception, so that we will, in our brokenness, saying, God, it looked right and I made the best decision. No, we might have made the human best decision, but it was not the godly decision. The godly decision is to go, step out of the boat, feel the wind, I might add, not the waves, it's merely the wind, and not look to the waves and look to where we're at, but to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And it doesn't say, how am I walking on water? That's never the question. Never the question, how in the world is this physically, humanly, or physiology? There's no way to explain any of this. Why am I walking on? Stop. Look in the eyes of Christ and stop looking at what's going on below you, around you, or above you. Stop desiring to live on the mountaintop. Remember with Peter? With Elijah, or Elisha, Elijah, and Jesus. Remember that? And Abraham, Moses, I believe it was. What does he say? Hey, let's build a structure. Let's stay here. You know why he said that? Because we desire to live in the euphoria of a spiritual high. Everybody wants to live on the mountaintop. God, just let me stay on the mountaintop. I've heard people say that. You know, I say this and I'll say it again because it's important. It's the way to understand it from the perspective of reality. What happens on mountaintops is that there is thin air. There is a physiological thing that happens when you're in thin air. It's called hypoxia. If you've ever been in private aircraft or flown a private airplane, you know that around, depending on the person, your lungs, between 11,000 and 13,000 feet, if you're young and healthy, it's sometimes higher. But it happens to everyone at a certain altitude. You don't know that you begin to, in a sense, physically die. It's called hypoxia, where you're not getting the appropriate oxygen. Your oxygen level starts to drop in your body, and you actually can become euphoric, feel high, and you can start making bad decisions, and you can actually die. Why? Because you're not being oxygenated. You feel that high and you think that it's a good thing, and you begin to climb higher, or you stay at that altitude not recognizing you're dying. Pilots die. As a matter of fact, there was an airplane, a golfer, a very famous golfer, I don't remember his name right now. They were in a Learjet and the pressurization, the oxygen system malfunctioned. They all passed out in the pressurized jet. The plane continued to fly until another phenomenon happened. The fuel ran out and the plane crashed and they all died. They didn't make the choice to become hypoxic and to pass out and to ultimately die, but they were at an altitude that was not conducive to life. Spiritually, it's the same thing. We can't stay here as much as we want to, because there's another thing that happens, and it happens in the valley, the lowest of lows. It's where the water is. It's where the thickest air is. It's where life is. Why does God allow us to go to these deep valleys? Because that's where we grow the most. That's where the density of the concentration of life is at its greatest. It's where we learn the most. It's a hard thing to understand, though. God, why? Why am I going through this right now? Because James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. It goes down to say that perseverance must finish its work. So what? Will be complete, not lacking anything. God knows where B is tonight. We're at A. God knows how to get us from A to B. The same way that when God allowed me to spend 4 years in bed, not understanding why it takes 13 surgeries, why, God, do I have to endure meningitis? Why do I have to endure all of this loneliness and isolation when I'm left in the morning at 6 o'clock or 6:30 until sometimes 6, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night? God, why? He knew, but I didn't. See, God knows. God knows what had to be called out of me and how God had to bring me to the place where all I needed was Him, because I do not ultimately need anyone. You don't either. You need Him. We've got to be desperate for Him, because He'll never get us to the place where we're able to be used until we are solely desperate for Him. Yes, we are thankful for spouses. We're thankful for families. We're thankful for friends. But when you get to the spiritual place where you recognize that He's all you need, that is where you're prepared to be used of Him, and you are able to value people in the place that God has divinely ordained that they be. Treasured, but not in a toxic codependency. What does codependency do? It has us put people at a place that actually is wrong for us to place them. We put a burden on them that they should not bear. Without you, I would die. That's wrong. No, your heart may ache and grieve. Don't put that burden on them. That's wrong. The one that you and I need is Him. When we put the person that we love in the proper perspective, we're able to recognize, guys, that God's called us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Ladies, you're able to see your husband as a gift from God that you should honor and love and respect. But no, your life will not end if something was to happen to them. If God was to allow them to die, no, you're able to go forward to carry on the legacy of who they were. Treasure the memory of that, but recognize that God is all you truly need. Our kids aren't ours. You want to say my children? They're not your kids. They are on loan from you from God. And how fast can they be gone? Ask Job. In an instant. How fast can your spouse be gone? Just ask two families in our church this week. How fast? Life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. Go look in the obituary in any given day, not only in Shelbyville, Tennessee, but go to a big city like Nashville, Memphis. How fast? That fast. I actually had the statistics. I read them one service. Of the number of people that walked off into eternity, most likely not knowing Christ during a service, I shared it one time, it astounded me. And why it was so important for us to stand firm, to stand up, to stand out, and to share Jesus Christ, because this is an act of reality around us all the time on any given day. So easy for us to forget about the throngs of people that die lost on any given day. It's very easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to forget our brother Dan Brown as he goes down to Planned Parenthood. He's going tomorrow morning, so please pray for him. As he goes down there with a passion to share Christ, but to rescue these little precious gifts from God that he's knit together in mothers' wombs that are seen as nothing more than the hindrance to the freedom that I deserve. Why do they call it planned parenthood? Why? No, it is because this inconvenience, I will later plan my parenthood, but right now it is a hindrance to the life that I deserve to live. No, it's a gift from God that has the right to live. It is not an inconvenience, and God help this nation to be brought back from the place that it sees the precious gift as nothing more than something that needs to be dealt with for a few hundred dollars. God have mercy on us. See, spiritual wisdom's not worldly wisdom, because again, worldly wisdom can see the precious gift of God is nothing more than a hindrance. But see, when we, through a spiritual lens, are able to see what God has given us for the blessing that it is. Why do you believe that the pastor of this church and many in this church have decided that the others in this, even neighbors of our home county, have seen something as a hindrance to their life? Why have we taken those things in, these children, these blessings, these gifts? Because it is our spiritual mandate. They're not an inconvenience. They are not trash. They're not to be cast away. They are gifts from God that God has commanded us in Matthew chapter 25 to take in. Not because anyone gives us a financial motivation for it, because there is none. There is the motivation spiritually, the command, the call, because one day we will stand before God and give an account for what we did or did not do for them. Might I remind you again of Matthew 25? I'll separate the sheep from the goats, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Come, ye blessed of my Father, prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. And they will say, when, Lord, did we feed you? When were you hungry? When were you in prison? When were you naked? And he will reply, whatever you did to the least of these, you have done unto me. And he will turn to the goats and say, I was hungry, but you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will say, when were you hungry? When were you naked? When were you thirsty? And he will reply to them, whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do unto me. They will go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous to eternal life. It's Matthew 25. Read it. It's not my words, it's God's word. That is the reality. The sum total of our life, as I said at that funeral yesterday, the dash of our life will be the sum total of everything from birth date to death date is summed up in that stinking, small, measly dash. What is your dash saying about you tonight? What? What is it saying about the Spirit of God's presence, work, and power being manifest in you? Or does your guilt, does the lack thereof scream because of the lack thereof? I can see his casket from yesterday. I can see the man that sat right there just a few short weeks ago. I see him. I see him sitting there. I'll always see him. I still see Mr. James sitting there. I see it. Why? Because they're our brothers in Christ. They're always going to be there to me. I see Mr. Grant sitting right there. Just a few short months ago, weeks ago, not long. I thank the Lord that they possess the Spirit of God, the fruits of Christ. And yesterday, as we went to the graveside and we're getting ready to put him in the ground, I said, you know, this is what the world considers the end of the road. This is the grand finale. 1 month or 1 year and 5 months prior to you step right here, I was standing in front of his mother's casket as we lowered her into the ground. Fleeting. Ecclesiastes, everything is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. This is reality. The Spirit of God, the work of God. Brother Jonathan, why do you always talk about death? Why do you always talk about the shortness, the brevity, and the why? I don't like to think about that. That's the problem, we don't. Because you know what we can do? We can numb ourselves to the reality of what lies close, just around the corner, a mere moment's notice. Why do I reiterate the thoughts, and many times in my life when I was doing foolish things, I always think about this, okay? There are young boys and girls all over this country for the last, let's just say 40 years, when we have nice cars, fast cars, and things like that. There are nights when young people went out to have a good time and consumed things they shouldn't be, driving with some nice girl that they loved and thought was great, and they're having a really good time. Had the nice car, got a good job, life is looking really good. And in a moment, you're at the height of the euphoric, earthly sense of pleasure. A guy going fast in a car with a little bit to drink is like the crowning achievement from that earthly standpoint. You know what I'm talking about. And time again, as they've gone around corners, they've lost control. Listen, this is true. Every single day it happens. When I was policing, I saw this firsthand. When I was up in Nashville at Vanderbilt, I watched this firsthand. In one instantaneous moment, lives were extinguished. Let me tell you where my mind went in this from the spiritual perspective of this. I've thought about this in the application part. You're a young man, you're a young woman who has been at the height of absolute earthly joy and pleasure to the max. What I know biblically, as it says, it's appointed a man once to die, but then to stand judgment. So in one instantaneous moment, if a person doesn't know Christ, they are at the height of earthly pleasure going to what? We know from the rich man and Lazarus that the moment that the rich man breathed his last breath, he was taken to a place of torment, separation. Matthew 25, the goats. I can't imagine what he experienced from the scripture, because it says in one instantaneous moment, he is pleading with Abraham. There's a great chasm, and I can't begin to understand. I know Wilton preached that thing, Eddie and I looking at each other smiling, because we know what I'm going to on that. There's this great chasm that divides. They cannot go from one to the other. There is, in a sense, this dialogue, and the rich man says, Abraham, can you not at least touch your finger to my tongue? Not a drink. It says, can you put your finger in water and touch my tongue? Because I'm in agony. He says, there's a great chasm that is separated, and I cannot go to there, and you cannot come to here. It can't happen. Will you please allow me then to go back and tell my brothers? Can send the prophets. They have the prophets. If they are not going to listen to them, they would not listen to you if you came back from the dead. What I'm saying is, that young man, that young woman, that old man, old woman, doesn't matter who it is, young, old, doesn't matter. It's all the same. Separation from God is separation. Those people went from one momentary euphoric high to the greatest level you could ever imagine to what? An eternal reality that I cannot imagine the moment that sank in, the sheer horror that overwhelms. I'm not saying that to scare someone into making their life one that wants to be yielded to Christ. I'm wanting to share with you the reality of what happens every single day to ones who've not come to faith in Jesus Christ. They don't know the pleasure of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God that's indwelled them, and the fellowship of knowing that God in an intimate level. I could walk away from ministry and go back into the realm financially of making really good money and go live the high life. It's nothing. It is fleeting and it's not worth it. There's nothing that will ever give me or you what fellowship with the God of creation and that relationship and what salvation and true fulfillment is found. There's nothing that will. What do we have to go back to? If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior and are truly a regenerate Christian, you would say, as I do, I have nothing to go back to. I would not go back to it for anything. To be crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have nothing with which to go back to. Final thing in 14. It's about the unbeliever. Doesn't welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. Final thing, the things of the Holy Spirit are foolishness to the lost. That's why when you or I get real excited about something spiritual and you share it with somebody who may pretend or call themselves a follower of Christ and they look at you like, huh? You want to talk about my new this, that, or that? Man, God's, I'm so excited about what God's word's saying to me, man. Don't you miss all, Dude, ease up on the Jesus stuff. Can't we talk about something else? When you hear that, it's indicative of a heart. Because the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, that doesn't mean that talking about restoring a car or hanging out and going on a jet ski or a boat or, hey, praise God, if you have the money for a Learjet, just take me with you. Let's do it together, man. Give me a shot about once a month for about 15 minutes, and I'll be like a three-year-old kid that had 10 minutes on an incredible bounce house or a playground. I just need a little shot, everyone. That's all. I don't need to own it. Just let me ride in it for a minute. Let me sit next to you in left seat. Let me be PIC for a minute, pilot in command, just a minute. But that world, see, there's nothing wrong with those things. If God so blesses you, use them for his glory. In all honesty, if God was to give me a jet right now, you know what I'd do? I'd use it for his glory. I'd get my training and I would train. I'd use as a ministry outlet to reach. I mean this. I wouldn't step down from preaching either. I'd do it right out of Shelbyville here. What I'm saying is it's okay if God blesses you with things like that. Just make sure that they are in the place to be used for his glory. Because if not, the enemy will use as an avenue to steal this precious bit of life that you and I have left. He'll get us so close to hearing about it, he'll never let it go from here to here, because if it goes from here to here, it changes this. It'll change your life. It'll change your relationships. It'll change your marriage, your friendships. It will change everything about you. And what'll happen is, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. That's what happens. Just like we watched our sister in Christ a week ago Sunday when she came up and shared her newfound faith in Jesus Christ. What an awesome blessing. Amen. It is so awesome when it's someone who's just not a young person. Awesome all the time, but it's so neat when the group is from statistical analysis where it becomes very small, that many people come to faith in Christ. It's so exciting to watch that happen. Amen. It's exciting that when they come to Christ, they're this big. It's all exciting, but it's almost an extra shot in the arm when you see an age group that it's so almost impossible that they come to Christ. God's awesome. Amen. He's on the throne. He's working. He's moving. And you know what? The spiritual wisdom that he gives us, it's not worldly. The same way that we don't fight spiritually, we fight. Our weapons are not carnal. They're not earthly. Our weapons of our warfare are not. They are spiritual. The things of the Holy Spirit are foolishness to the lost. The reason being, they don't have the ability and the spiritual wisdom to discern the spiritual realm. They are dealing with it from the carnal, earthly perspective. This is stupid. What's wrong with you guys? You all are crazy. You heard one of our former presidents say, you guys, those Christians, claim their Bible, their God, and their guns. Okay. Amen. I'll take that. They see that as a sign of weakness. I see that actually as a sign of strength. Jesus says, take up your sword. So why in the world would I not want to cling to my God and guns? Amen. The things of the Holy Spirit are foolishness to the lost. But I pray tonight they're not to you. I pray that that is the Spirit of God with which you fellowship. And as you stay in God's Word, doesn't matter how young or old you are, when you get in God's Word, you get excited because you go, you know what? God Himself is going to speak to my heart through this. And the Spirit of God is going to lead. The Spirit of God is going to guide my heart, my passions, my everything. God is going to lead me into His perfect will for His life, for my life. His perfect will is going to be imparted on my soul. And as I go out here, I will go out with no question because His promise is that what? Every path. What is every path? Made straight. Every step directed divinely. Well, I walked up to this door, Brother Jonathan, and it got opened about that much. Don't walk through it. That's not God. What do you mean? It's cracked. Don't you think God desires for me to push it? No, He does not. Every door that God has opened for me, I will not walk through unless it's open. Why do I say that? Because God is not a God of confusion, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So if that door is not open, friends, run, because the Gibeonites are standing right behind it. And the pain that they endured is the pain that will fall on you and I if we walk through that door, because again, God is not going to lead us in uncertainty. God's going to lead us in full certainty. And what? If it's not certain, let me challenge you to do something. Be still and wait on the Lord. Well, I don't want to wait. I'm impatient. Okay, good. Go walk forward and find out what happens to you. Don't whine to me when the pain sets in. Because the pain is a result of our sin, our faithlessness, and our deciding to walk by sight. Now, well, he's perfect. She's perfect. Oh, good, when they come to Christ. Well, I don't know, but they love Jesus. You don't know about their relationship status with Christ. Let me tell you what to do. Run! Run far. Don't stop. Young people, I want to tell you, ask every one of them, when did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? If that girl, that boy says, well, I don't know. I just love Jesus, but I cannot tell you when I went from death to life through Christ Jesus. Run! Why do I say that? How many people would you like to talk to? Because I know they'll talk to you. You know what they'll tell you? I didn't do it, and I've suffered tremendously because of it. I can give you person after person who've allowed me to share with you after church, come to me and say, listen, I believe if I marry somebody unsaved, they're going to get saved. I'll give you their presence in front of you, and then you can say to them, hey, I've got an unsaved boy or girl that I'm thinking about dating. What do you think about it? You just buckle up, because they're going to give you a little dose of reality and let you understand the misery, the pain, and the hurt that happens when you walk outside or you fall for an angel of light. You know what an angel of light is? It looks so good, it's almost angelic. What does the enemy masquerade as? Angel of light. What is an angel of light? It merely masquerades as something that is beautiful and lovely, but it's a deception, and it's from the enemy. What also you find out when you want to qualify if something's an angel of light or darkness, qualify it according to the Scripture, because if you continue to do that, you know what you'll find out fast? It is not of the Lord. It may appear. That is only an appearance. We think that Satan runs around like this little red-horned devil. You go, oh, I see you. No, 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 no. He's a liar, liar, pants on fire. He will trick you and he'll trick me. He is a liar, a thief, and desires to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And guess where that abundant life comes? Not in compromise. I sat in front of I don't even know how many people and said, what's the rush? I don't feel a peace about what's going on with you guys. Why don't you just wait another month or two? No rush. Well, we want to do it now. Why? Why don't you wait until God gives you greater clarity on things? No, we just want to get it done. Really? Do you think your accountability in your life for a spiritual brother or sister that God would give peace if it's of Him? Amen. Won't He? Because if it's of God, you can't stop it. He's going to give a peace to everybody involved in it. But when somebody that really loves you, God gives no peace about it, run. Because at the end of it is capital P-A-I-N, pain. Hardcore, painful, agonizing hurt. And why do I say this? Because I love you. Every person watching online tonight, I love you. Don't even know who you are watching. We had a person download from Switzerland. I don't know them, but guess what? Praise God, they're getting the word. You know what I know? God's word doesn't return void. Germany, where else, Andrew? There you go. You know what that means? It's not about what I'm thinking. You think God doesn't divinely lead people to hear God's truth and God's word? The same thing with all of us. I wish somebody in my lifetime when I was young had said different, a few of the things that I've said tonight to you. God is not a God of confusion. Don't believe that you've got to make a decision on something because you think you're going to lose something. That's an old car salesman tactic. It's called fear of loss. It comes from the enemy. What he wants you to do, just like a car salesman, I got 10 people coming to look at this later on. You know what I tell them? They've told me that. Good, sell it. If it's there when I get ready to look at it, I'll be there. I'm going to pray about it first. Don't work on me. You know why? I know there's 50 cars down the road that I can buy. You're not going to pressure me into buying something. No way. You know what I want? I want God's car. What's God's car? It's going to be when He answers. It's going to be for the price that God lays on your heart or my heart. And it's going to be so amazing that all we can do is give God the glory. But when it's fast, rushed, and hurried, because why? You're going to miss out if you don't do it right now. Run. Whether that's relational or in something in life that you need to buy or a decision that we need to make. Do you want to be led by God? Do you want the Spirit of God to be the thing that leads, guides, and directs? Then you've got to be willing to wait on the Lord, to trust in Him with all of your heart, to lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And the promise of God is this: He will direct your paths. When your heart isn't feeling at peace about something, you know what you want? You want a husband, you want a wife, you want a boyfriend, girlfriend that says this: I want a man who's going to wait on the Lord, be sensitive to things of the Lord. You want a man that when he's overwhelmed spiritually with the magnitude of what he's taking on and marrying you, you find him crying somewhere. You think he's weak? No, you don't. You want that man right there, because guess what he is? He's sensitive to the things of the Lord. He recognizes the weight of what God's calling him to be for you. That's a man that treasures you. A man that senses the things the Lord gets in his Bible in the morning. Ladies, that's not a weak man, that's a man. Because he knows that he can't be what you deserve unless he's first. Just like the wedding that I preached 2 months ago, I don't know how long it's been, it's probably been a lot longer now than I even thought. He says in front of everyone right there, I vow to you that God will be first. That's what he said. I vow to you that God will be first, because I'll never love you and never be what you deserve if he's not. I about passed out. Never heard that in my life. Can you imagine what she heard? This is a man that's going to be able to love me the way that God created me to be loved. I wish I could get the video and play it in here. Maybe I can. It's one of the most incredible weddings I have ever been a part of. Because I want to tell you, Kevin will be honest about the faults and the battles that he has, but I'll tell you one thing. He is bananas for Jesus Christ, just like his mama and daddy are. His mama was, she's in the Lord's presence, but just like his daddy still is. That is a life that is lined up, living in the Spirit, and a life that God will honor. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word. Father, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.